The Woman's City Club of Greater Cincinnati is hosting its annual National Speaker Forum on April 3rd. This year's keynote speaker is Helen Thorpe. She's an award-winning immersive journalist and author known for the profound insights of her books and articles. And in her talk, she will explore what it means to be American as she presents her perspectives on the issues of immigration, multiculturalism, and America's role on the global stage. I got to speak with Helen earlier. Helen Thorpe, thanks for taking some time for us today.
It's my pleasure. I'm glad to get to speak with you.
So you're coming to Cincinnati to speak to the Women's City Club of Greater Cincinnati. The topic is Searching for Refuge, Friendship, and Hope, Perspectives on Immigration. What do you say it means to be an American today?
To be an American today, you know, I am somebody who grew up here with a green card after my family immigrated, and I became a naturalized citizen. And so I think I've actually thought a lot about what it means to change countries and become an American that way, since that's my personal story. And for me, I'm honored and proud and happy about the fact that I was able to get American citizenship because of all the economic opportunities and kind of the culture of this country, which really prioritizes trying to have a level playing field and trying to let everybody who can compete get ahead. And that philosophy doesn't exist in every country. And in Ireland, where you know my parents are from, there had been long periods of great economic difficulty, and that's why they came here. So when I think about what it means to be American, I think about a place that offers hope and opportunity and the idea that a better life.
But there are a lot of different perspectives on what it means to be an American. Do you think that that varied understanding about Americanism plays a role in the debate about immigration?
I'm sure it does. The debate about immigration is one that is so corrupted by misinformation. You know, people had more facts about immigration and that we could have a more reasonable conversation about it. But I'm sure it is influenced by different ideas around what it means to be American, absolutely.
Yeah, do you think it also may impact sort of the general incivility we have in political discourse in this country right now, the idea of what it means to be an American?
Well, what's in your mind when you ask that question? How do you see the differences? I'm not sure I fully understand kind of
Well, you've heard the phrase in political campaigns, two Americas, and that may be a reference to economics, but there's also references to what are the foundational principles of this country and what do people in this country stand for? And there seem to be different interpretations of what that means. What does it mean to be an American? And I just wonder from your perspective and the stories that you've written, whether you think that that idea, the idea of the American identity plays a role in just the general uncivil discourse that we see throughout conversations in this country?
Well, I'm sure it does. I mean, I think that, you know, if one were to, in a simplistic way, kind of what those differences were, I think, you know, on one side, you might have people who believe that to be an American, you must have lived here for many generations and have that kind of history in this country. And I think there, you know, in that camp, there's like varying degrees of tolerance for admitting new people and different expectations for what those new people should exhibit in terms of loyalty to this country. And then on the other side of the equation, I think you have a lot of people who are embracing the idea of diversity and this being a country that has always had waves of immigrants coming, and that over the centuries that we've existed, watching those people create together what it means to be American. I mean, if we just think in terms of like one example of our culture, like food, you can chart the different contributions that different immigrant groups have made, from pizza to pasta to salsa. And I don't know what this country would be like without all of those immigrant groups having come here and kind of created the America that we know. So I'm pretty firmly, I guess, in the camp that believes that the diverse waves of people who have come have all added.
Your first book came out in 2009. It's called Just Like Us, The True Story of Four Mexican Girls Coming of Age in America. And two of your titular girls were here legally and two were not. Is that correct?
That's correct. And all four were very close friends.
So in the 10 years since that book came out, what has changed in our country in terms of what similar girls today might experience?
When I was writing about those young women and the experiences that the two undocumented young women were having growing up without papers, it was before the Dreamer movement and before DACA, or Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. And they were having a lot of difficulty segueing from being school children into adulthood, in particular, problems finding funding for college. When DACA passed, life got easier. DACA wasn't a permanent solution. These children who were brought here at a young age, young people like them got the right to work legally, got the right to get driver's licenses for the most part, and for the most part were then able to pay for college because they could qualify for in-state tuition. Now we see some of those advances, you know, we see the attempt to take them away again. So life for the young women that I was writing about was terribly uncertain. Then there was a period of time where things got better, and now we're in a time of tremendous uncertainty once again. And one of the young women that I wrote about after my book came out, now suffering that terrible anxiety, what is going to happen to her? What will her future be like? Will this be taken away?
So currently our nation's immigration debate or conversation does seem to be dominated by the experiences of people who are coming here across the southern border. But there's also migration happening across the globe, coming into America as well from various countries who are impacted by a variety of issues and circumstances. And in 2017, you wrote another book called The Newcomers, and that followed about two dozen teenage refugees from around the world during their first school year in Denver. So what is unique about the experience of a young refugee from other continents coming to America compared to, say, a young immigrant from Latin America?
So a lot of young immigrants from Latin America are coming here for primarily economic reasons and economic opportunity. An exception would be maybe a violence-ridden country like, say, El Salvador. They might be fleeing such levels of violence that they feel they can't live safely in their home country, not so much for economic reasons, but purely to stay alive. Refugees coming from other parts of the world, they're typically fleeing really lengthy conflicts. So the biggest senders of refugees to the U.S., number one is the Democratic Republic of Congo, where there have been about two decades of extreme violence on the eastern part of the country, tens of thousands of families fleeing that side of the country. Burma is the next largest sender of refugees here, and that country's had a half-century-long civil war, a lot of fleeing in huge numbers. And then the third largest sender of refugees to the U.S. most years is Iraq, and we know probably more about that since we've been involved in the conflict after we invaded and it fell into civil war. And hundreds of thousands of Iraqi refugees have poured out of that country as a result. So kids from each of them, both a story of all of them learning English together, but what their families had lived through back home that forced them to leave, and then how the kids wound up in the room together in the first place.
Helen, you mentioned this at the top of the interview. You were born in London to Irish parents. You moved together to the U.S. in the 1960s, and you grew up with a green card. So does your own life experience inspire you to pursue these topics, and how do you find that you relate with these subjects?
Yes, my life experience absolutely inspires me. Because my parents immigrated here, my dad was recruited by RCA to come work as an engineer when there was a shortage of engineers in this country. But the whole time that we were living here and I was growing up here, and I feel very American having spent, you know, virtually my whole entire life here. I was one when we arrived. So all my aunts and uncles and cousins were in another country. And growing up with those two cultures, knowing another place as well as we did, I really identify with and empathize with anybody who changes countries and comes here and also tries to hold on to their sense of who they were in their homeland and sort of bring a dual identity here. So when I was spending time with the Mexican-American girls in Just Like Us, I saw that they very much wanted to be American high school students who were successful and to live the American dream, go to college, get a professional kind of job, a different kind of work than their parents did. And at the same time, they were very loyal to their parents and would go home and speak Spanish with their parents and were carrying with them some sort of sense of pride in their home culture, their Mexican culture as well. And it's a juggling act that anybody does who sort of is straddling both an allegiance to the culture of their homeland, but also very much wanting to belong here, fit in here, and contribute here. So the newcomers, I think I was catching them just as they were arriving in the United States. And that whole question of what it meant to be American was something they were just beginning to think about. They didn't really understand yet exactly what that meant, but they knew they had been given an unbelievable opportunity. They had gotten to leave behind the difficulties of refugee camps, and they could tell that life here could be a lot easier and a lot better if they could get enough education to not have to do menial work. Generally, their parents were doing that kind of work. Their parents were cleaning hotels, working in meatpacking plants, washing dishes so that their kids could be in high school. But the kids were just learning English when they first arrived. And for me, what was extraordinary was to see how swiftly the teenagers went from not having any English, not having any clue of what American culture really was, and being really confused by everything around them. And one of the kids I wrote about in the book is actually now co-president of the student body at South High School.
Wow.
So the full acclimation just during the 4 years of high school, full social acclimation, and I think really becoming exemplary young Americans. It was amazing to me to see how fast that happened.
Well, Helen, we appreciate your time today, and we'll look forward to your event in Cincinnati.
Thank you so much. A pleasure to talk.
Absolutely. That was author Helen Thorpe. She'll be in Cincinnati April 3rd for the Woman City Club of Greater Cincinnati's 35th Annual National Speaker Forum. For information about the event, go to our website, wvxu.org. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. You can find archives of our show online at wvxu.org. I'm Michael Mungs.